that. All right. I'm going to shout something out. I love God and I love you. Awesome. Thanks and good morning. And goodbye to our youth group. They're going to be headed upstairs. If you're in the youth and you'd like to join them, go ahead and head on out. We're beginning this brand new series called Generous. I don't know if you could tell the videos that I make and the ones I steal off the internet, but I'll be honest, that one I stole off the internet, right? Mine tend towards a little weirder or like stranger. And so that one I really like. And we are in this series, and I found that one, and it was speaking exactly the way that we were trying to shape what we're talking about over the next 4 weeks. As indicated in the intro video, we're talking about being generous as a reflection of who we are in Jesus and because of the things that Jesus has done for us. And it is our response back to him because of his generosity towards us. So we're not just talking about generous with money, though there'll be a part of that. We're talking about being generous with our time, being generous with our abilities, our resources, and with our passions. Lately, it's been super hot. I'm so glad there's clouds out here today, but it's been super hot. I read on Monday at Disneyland, it was actually the hottest place in America, was like in Anaheim. And so Disneyland, instead of the happiest place, it was the hottest place in America at like 98 degrees, and that's not a boy band, but that was the temperature in late October at Disneyland. And it's hot. It was hotter here in Anaheim, in our area, than it was in Corona, Death Valley, and Texas. So that's pretty hot, but lucky for me, I got one of these things. You guys, you know this, right? Oh, yeah. Ah, this is so nice. I'm going to cause a short out, and I'm going to electrocute myself to death on the good times. But I have one of these. Anyone else? I enjoy these things, and every time I do this, like, there's a side effect about being a pastor. Almost everything ends up being a sermon illustration because you have to think of one, like, constantly. And so every time, like, I use this kind of this thing, and every time I spray or, like, hairspray or that kind of stuff, and I notice this mist, it always reminds me of a passage. And I think that's a side effect of being a pastor needing a new sermon illustration every week, that almost everything in life becomes, like, spiritual. Like, oh, look at those clouds. They're spiritual. Oh, a new building is going up, like the building of God, right? And so every time I see that mist, it reminds me of this passage that comes in James. And today we're talking about being generous with our time. And when I'm thinking about time, I always think about this passage, and then also the mist reminds me of that. This passage in James says, what's your life? You are a mist that appears for just a little while and then vanishes. So check that out with me. I think that you guys could see this in the light. Ready? Here it goes. There it is. Still there a little bit. And then it's gone. And the Bible says that's exactly what you're like. Your life is just like that. It just, for 1 second you're there and then you're gone. Life is so short. So we better use the moments that we have. We better use them well. Since time is one commodity we cannot get any more of, it is impossible to increase the amount of time that we have. As followers of Jesus, we want to be especially careful that we're investing our time well, that we're generous with our time to others as a reflection and an imitation of Jesus himself. So if you think of your favorite people on earth, you think about what has moved you on this planet, and you think about people who have influenced you, it's almost always because they spent time with you. Rarely is it someone that you don't know or you've never interacted with. The people that influence and change us the most are those that are willing to spend time with us. They stop and notice you. When I was first a believer, I was a bit out of control. I had come to Christ. I drove a motorcycle. I had long bangs and shaved sides. And I was so Jesus-y, I shaved a cross in the side of my hair with my long bangs and my motorcycle and my crazy attitude. And I was such a punk. But I met Jesus, and I didn't know anything. So I didn't know you're supposed to change all the other stuff, you know, and get the, you know, I didn't know the right. You're supposed to have a tie, otherwise you could be a Christian. I didn't realize that for a while. But just kidding, you don't need that. But I was such a punk, and I started to serve in the children's department at the church I was going to at the time. And the children's director, she was like, oh, man, this guy's, he's on fire for the Lord and stuff. And she told her husband, hey, you need to mentor him. You need to spend time with him. And this guy said, no way. His name was David Rim. He's like, And so this is a confession later, but he said, no way. I'm not going to spend any time with that guy. He's out of control. So David Rim, who's someone I love dearly and who I consider my mentor pastor, he was a math major at Carnegie Mellon. And then he eventually got his doctorate, and he wrote his doctorate on like the probability of DNA sequencing and in mitochondria, blah, 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 blah. So I told him I read it, but I never read it because I don't know, I don't understand that stuff. And so when he was looking at me, he was like, and he told his wife, I have nothing in common with that guy. I'm not going to mentor, I'm not going to disciple him, I'm not going to take care of him. He's out of control. I don't know what you see in him, but she kept bugging him. And if you know, some of you know Maria and David, she's more persistent than he is, so she won. And so he ended up getting forced to spend time with me. And it altered my life permanently. And I'm 25 years later serving God because of the ministry of this man in my life. And he invested in some other people, and those kind of investments, like, they last for a long time. Like, here's someone, so he spent about 2 or 3 years investing time in me, and look at the yield from those 2 or 3 years. For 25 years, I've been serving God as a full-time pastor. And so that's a pretty good yield for the time that he generously gave to me to change my life, or to be a part of changing my life. Ultimately, of course, it's God, but God uses people all of the time. So as we're talking about time this morning, I have forcefully crammed the ideas that I believe God wants to share with you into an acronym called TIME. See? So this is really good. Those of you who go to intensive Bible training, they know that they actually don't like acronyms at all. But if they're useful for my purposes, then I like them, right? So that's how life is. So I normally don't like acronyms. I don't do a ton of acronyms. So, but I got one today, and it's TIME, because we're talking about being generous with the time. The first part of it is the T in TIME, and that is terminable. That is to say, time ends. We all have a limited quantity, and it does run out, and it cannot be replenished. Benjamin Franklin writes, lost time is never found again. And he's right. Time is a scarce resource, and if it's wasted, it cannot be recovered later. Like, usually we don't think about time. The only time you ever think about time is when you don't have it. Right? When you are rushing to get somewhere because you left too late, now you're late, and there's traffic, and then you're like, oh, I don't have enough time. It's the only time you think about it. Like when you're late for a meeting, or you have too many work projects, that's when you start to think about time, right? When you're handling it, no problem, you don't think about time. But when the work projects stack up, and you start to say, like, oh, I don't have enough time for all this. When you have a big exam, and you had budgeted time, but instead of that, you hung out with your friends, and then you went to Denny's, and then you went somewhere else, and then it was really late. I don't know if you go to Denny's still anymore, but it used to be a place people went to eat late at night because nothing else was open. I don't know now, but dating yourselves, right? Like now, Charles is going to Denny's again because he's old and retired, right? So he's going back to Denny's, but not as the young, sort of cool version. Now this is the 4:30 p.m. get a discount version of going to Denny's. Anyway, it's all full circle, right? Life, you know, he used to take his girl out to Denny's. Hey, girl, let's go to Denny's. And now he does it too. Hey, girl, let's go to Denny's. She's like, yes. Get a grand slam. Like, I don't even know what's available at Denny's anymore. I'm going to go to Denny's this week. If you got 3 kids and they're all in soccer and they're not on the same team, that's when you think about time, right? You are driving, it is your 6th hour in the car, and you've got food to try to carry to 3 different practices, and you don't have enough time. Too many errands, too many stuff, that's when it matters. How many times have each of us said, like, if I only had more time? Anyone ever said, like, oh man, I just need a little bit more time? But we don't. And wishing so isn't real. So instead, we need to figure out how to use the time that we do have wisely. Consider this. I was thinking about this. I actually read this somewhere, and it, like, threw me off. You have the exact same hours per day as Thomas Jefferson, as Martin Luther King Jr., as Mother Teresa, Michelangelo, Thomas Edison, Einstein. They had the same hours you have. What are you doing with your hours? Dang it. What are we doing? Because time is a resource that is limited and we ought not to waste it. The most critical thought, I think, for deciding how to use our time wisely is found in the I of time. I stands for importance. You have to make decisions regarding the allocation of your time based on importance, not based on urgency or immediacy. You must allocate your time resources based on importance, not urgency, not momentary, not currently relevant right now that's pressing on you. Theophrastus, a Greek philosopher, says time is the most valuable thing a man could spend, saying that it's so valuable, of highest priority, we better use it on what's important. Have you ever discovered that the urgent often crowds out the important? Right? Maybe you're about to go on a date with your wife, which is really important. And then work called, and there was this thing that you had to do right now. Or a friend called, and they were having a personal emergency. And it was really urgent, and they sounded urgent on the phone. Like, the company won't exist if you don't do this. And so you do the urgent instead of the important. But then later on, when you're reviewing how significant that urgent actually was, most often, it wasn't that urgent. It wasn't as urgent as the person said it was. And in the grand scheme of things, it actually didn't matter very much. And you could have skipped that urgent, but instead you skipped the important. And so that's just an example of things we do all of the time, where we choose things that are immediate or in front of us or pressing, and we neglect the things that are important. So in that scenario, you sideline the important to focus on the urgent, and that is wrong. It's a wrong choice. Look, you've got to decide what's important in your life, and you've got to allocate resources of time toward those ends of things that are important. Not all things are equal in our lives, and not all things are equal to you and to me. Like, I think certain things are more important than you think are more important, and that's okay. And so for each of us, we have to decide, okay, God, what is really important in my life? And we've got to decide those things and then make decisions about how we're going to spend our time based on, like, a conscious decision to be intentional about our time. Because not all things are equal, and we don't have time to do everything. You cannot do everything. It is impossible. So I want to ask you to try to do something. I want to ask you to prayerfully make a list, like a physical list, like actually rank the things that are in your life. And so when I tried to do this, it was really hard. It seemed easy when I wrote it out, like, oh, yeah, make a list. But then I tried to do it because I never want to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to try to do myself. And when I tried to do it, it started to become really difficult because I would put, like, oh, God, family, blah, blah, blah. But where's basketball fit in that? Where was, like, the Clipper game that I wanted to watch? And then, so, okay, that's probably higher than, sometimes higher than family. Sometimes higher than prayer time. So, like, prayer time I separated from God, and reading my Bible I separated from God also, because I think, yeah, God's priority, like, in my mind, but that's not, I don't spend, like, how do you God in terms of time? Like, so what are the practicalities of that? And so I started to try to list it out. And I want to ask you that you would do the same thing. And as you do, I would like to ask you to ask God to guide your thoughts to begin this exercise. And be as honest as you can. And so lift out for yourself, like, what are the things that are really important to me? And then you're going to be able to assess, like, am I spending my time in a proper way? This will help you figure out how to best do this next step in time. So time is terminable. We have a set limit. Focus on what's important, and you got to decide that between you and God. I can't tell you what's important. You got to decide that. Be as honest as you can. Don't get overly spiritual. I want you to be spiritual, but don't just say the answer because you think you're supposed to say it. Just between you and God, write those out. And this is going to help us to figure out this next step, which is the M in time, which is manage. We've got to figure out how to be the captain of our own time ship. Like, a lot of times we let other people manage our time. We their projects, their deadlines, their urgency, their emergencies, They sort of dictate our time. But I've got to be the captain of my time ship. I've got to be the one in charge of spending my time. And I can't control how other people spend their time, but I can control how I spend my time. There's a neat quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, "This time, like all times, it's a very good one, if we but know how what to do with it." So this is Ralph Waldo Emerson, poet and old school influencer, pre-Instagram days. He says, all times are great if you know what to do with it. He's talking about time management. We've got to ruthlessly protect, guide, and budget our times to be spent according to God's priorities that we listed already in that previous exercise. But if we haven't listed them, then we don't even know how to spend our time, right? So you've got to first list those out, and then we've got to allocate our resource of time towards those things which are important. Track your time like you do your financial budget, and then make cuts accordingly, and make greater investments accordingly. Go ahead and just look at it like that. I'm wasting money on this thing. I'm going to cut my cable bill so I can spend that money on whatever else you like to do. So we cut our cable bill. We do this with our finances, right? I don't want to spend $80 on cable. I'd rather spend $10 on Netflix, Disney, and Apple and get all the things that I want to watch, and that's still cheaper than cable. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that. We do it we do that financially, and so we need to do that time-ancially as well. We need to watch out our time, and we need to make changes that are appropriate to the goals that we have set in terms of importance. Now, the key to this is learning to say no. You've got to allow yourself to say no. I'm going to give you my spiritual permission to say no. I'm going to actually bless you right now, bless you in the name of the Lord to say no. You may say no, you need to say no. Saying no to the wrong things allows you to say yes to the right things. Like, I understand that many of us, we don't like to say no because we value people and we don't want to disappoint them. And that's really cool. But I think if we overdo it and we don't say no to people and we don't say no to different things, it may indicate an inflated view of myself. It actually may be an indication that I think I'm more important than I am. And I think it's spiritually problematic because, one, if I think that I have to say yes to everything, that means I think that I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to come alongside everybody. I'm supposed to take care of everyone. I'm supposed to be the voice in everything. I'm supposed to take, charge of that. I'm supposed to serve in this. I'm supposed to do this X, Y, Z in my life. I'm supposed to do all these kind of things. So I'm the Holy Spirit, really. That I am somehow in charge of making the world go round. But that's not true. That's patently false. I'm not in charge of making the world go round. And I'm rarely as essential as I think I am. If I die tomorrow, guess what? This church will continue. I'm not as important as I think I am. If you die, guess what happens? Your work probably won't go bankrupt. Unless it's just you and you're the sole owner of the company. Then maybe. But then no one cares because you're the only owner. Right? We're not as important maybe as we think we are. And so perhaps we need a little bit of humility, and that helps us to say no. Plus, remembering what's our priority will help us to say no. Because if I say yes to everything, it's going to crowd out. I guarantee you it's going to crowd out the important things. Time imagining, budgeting, it's critical, because unless you do, the urgent and the immediate will always swamp the important. Look, it is impossible. We're talking about being generous today. It is impossible to be generous with a resource that you are unaware of where it goes or how you're possibly wasting it. If you haven't tracked your time, if you don't know where it's going, you can't be generous with it. What amount of free time do you have left to be generous with? Who's got a ton of free time here? Like, I just got a ton of, one guy who retired. Other than that, the guy who's going to Denny's this week with me. Who got a ton of time? Like, oh man, I just don't even know what to do. I'm so bored. I got all this time. Free time's not going to pop up. And so we've got to manage our time so that we can be available to say yes when the right time is to say yes. Only when you know and approve of where your time is going can you make the conscious decision to be generous with your time. Which brings us to the E in time, our last letter. E means to invest. I know. It's why I hate acronyms. Because if I would have used I, it would have been Timmy. And that doesn't even make any sense to me. And so that's why I just like, E is going to be for invest anyway, because I'm not willing to change my sermon to fit into an acronym. So E, invest your time generously to bless other people. The key is not in spending time, but investing time. This is what Stephen Covey says. Stephen Covey is the author of the author of The 7 Habits of a Highly Effective People, that book. Renowned educator, public speaker. He's passed away now, but and so he's right. It's not just about spending time on anything. It's about investing time on the important things. As believers, we need to be intentional in our investment of time in God and in people. Look, we have got to be time generous in the word and prayer. We're just going to say that right away. If you're waiting to spend time with God in your free time, that means you're not spending time with God because you don't got any free time. If you're waiting to have a spiritual epiphany for God to come upon you in your spare moments, he's not going to come upon you because you don't have any spare moments. You've got to become a little bit more time generous with God. Say, God, you are important enough for me to budget 30 minutes where I'm not even going to talk to my kids. My kids are cool. But kids, you need to not come in this unless the house is on fire or you're within 5 minutes of dying. Don't come into this room. And if you do, you will be within 5 minutes of dying. You know, not really. We never violent our kids or something. But we've got to start to be serious about being time generous with God, because as believers, we probably have to put him towards the top. I'm not sure you can get out of it, really, if you're a genuine follower of Jesus. And so we have to be more tied and generous with God. We have to be conscious and intentional about prioritizing that. Just time in the Word. Just reading your Bible. Sometimes studying it, sometimes just reading it. Sometimes just sitting in one part of it. And in prayer. Say, God, I'm going to spend these 10 minutes. Oh man, I got a million other things to do. Exactly, that's the devil's line. God's line is, no, you don't. You got one thing to do. Just come be with me. I'll take care of the million. You handle the one. And so we got to be time generous with God, intentionally, consciously investing our time in a relationship with God. And then after we do that, I think we need to be, at least we need to consider being time generous with people. And I think people, for me, always fall into two categories. I think we have to be intentional with being a little bit more time generous with non-believers. Now, we spend a lot of time with non-believers. We probably have a lot of at work and that sort of stuff. But I'm talking about something that reflects from this verse in Colossians. Colossians says, walk in wisdom with outsiders, making the best use of your time toward them. So I spend time with non-believers. But am I walking consciously and intentionally in wisdom with them as I interact with them? And that looks different than just hanging out or being at work with them. It says, God, I'm going to spend time praying for this person, and then I'm going to look for an intentional opportunity to talk to them about you. I'm going to look for an opportunity to invest time in them so that they can draw near to you, God, so that they can be built up as human beings, so that I can have a voice into their lives. Not just being with them, because we're with non-Christians all the time. We as believers, we need to be cognizant that God has put every one of us on a mission. You don't have to go to Thailand, you have to go to work tomorrow, and that is your mission. You've got to go to school tomorrow, and that is your mission. We are each called to use part of our time to engage non-believers and share the truth of Jesus Christ with them. Maybe it includes something like starting to budget some time to just pray for them. Maybe you have a non-believer friend in mind that you need to start praying with for more than 4 seconds. Dear God, I pray for Kenny. That's nice. What did you pray for Kenny? I just prayed for Kenny. Okay, I'm done. Well, that's probably 4 seconds. That is a time investment. But perhaps we need to be a little bit more generous with our time investment towards the salvation of Kenny. Or Rita, or whoever's in your life. Maybe you take them to lunch on purpose with a heart to share Jesus at that time. Oh, so scary. I know it's so scary. And like, you'll be sweaty. It'll be like a first date. Maybe you're intentional about being generous that way. It could include going on a short-term mission trip, or maybe helping out at the OC Rescue Mission, or signing up for Operation Christmas Child, which we'll be signing up for. I don't think it was in our announcement. We'll be going down to the warehouse for 3 or 4 hours as a church just to pack some boxes for kids that you will never meet, but some of which will get their first Christmas present in their life. And with those boxes, they get the gospel presented to them live by a person, and they get material in their native language that talks about Jesus to them. That's a great way. It's a fantastic way to spend intentional time being generous with your time. Look, I know you're busy on a Saturday. I know Saturday, maybe you're not. Maybe that was the only time that you were going to sit and relax. And maybe we could be a little time generous once in a while with those times. Many of you chose to be one-on-one prayer sponsors. It cost you time. And I am so proud that our church did that. I think it's beautiful and amazing that each of you are doing that, because it cost you time. That you had committed to say, like, I'm going to pray for this person several times during the week. That's an intentional, generous prayer moment. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that you have to, everyone, let's quit and all move to North Korea and get killed. But just to start to add a little bit of generosity purposefully as we budget out our time towards blessing non-believers. I mean, speaking of prayer sponsors, let's try to get to that Friday meeting this week. It is going to be themed around praying for those one-to-one sponsors. We call them kids, but some of them are 22 sponsors in college, you know, and which is good too. But they're kids too, us probably. And I doubt if little Isaiah sponsored a college person, right? So that's the first category of people. Whenever I think of being time generous with people, the second category is being generous with our time towards believers. And here's a couple of verses that just hopefully will just ignite your mind on it. Proverbs said, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. To be even more clear, Paul says to the Thessalonian church, therefore, you got to encourage one another, and you got to build each other up, just as in fact you're already doing. And then the author of Hebrews writes, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, spending time here, as the habit of some are, but encouraging one another by talking about spending time together, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Bible's super clear that part of our time generosity needs to be spent on encouraging the family of God, helping other believers walk well in Jesus. This may mean that we have to prioritize coming to church on time so you can spend just 4 minutes ahead of time with them. I know, sorry. Pastor's got to say that all the time. Yeah, come to church on time, church. And you can spend time with believers. And maybe, like, I kind of wanted to go to lunch, or I kind of want to get out of here fast, but maybe I'm going to hang out for lunch a little bit longer. Maybe that's how you prioritize some believers. Because it's not just for you. They need you as much as you need them. Now, I love to hear encouragements from people. My love language is words of affirmation. And so I love when people sit around and say, like, hey, Preston, great job, or, like, nice. Yeah, I'm so blessed. They spent just a little bit of time to say something like that. Maybe hang out with lunch and just spend a little bit of time with somebody. Now, I think you guys are really smart, so I think you probably can figure out how to do this in general. I want to ask for one thing specifically. So, and this is the one part, this is my favorite part here of the sermon, because this is when I started to map it out 6 months or so ago. This is the thing that popped to my mind right away. I'm going to ask you to do one thing specifically, and I'm not really going to give you a choice. I'm just going to assume you're going to do it because you love Jesus and I love you, and you said you loved God earlier. I heard you confess that. You kind of shouted it. Well, you chanted it more than shouted it, but that's okay. That's awesome, too. As believers, I want to consider if you would try one specific thing, and we're only going to do it till the end of the year. So give you a time limit. You can get out of it. I'm going to ask that you think about spending time with two persons at this church, being time generous with two persons, and generous by 10 minutes. I'm going to ask for 10 minutes out of your week. I was going to look up how many minutes are in a week. Someone could Google that fast. I don't know how many minutes are in a week. But I'm going to ask that you spend 10 of them on persons in this church. And I'm going to ask you to do it to two persons. So it's actually 20 minutes. Sorry. You can get at math. One up and one down. So someone that's older than you and someone that's younger than you. I want you to pray and say, God, Who would you like me to spend time with intentionally? Who can I encourage? Who can I come alongside? Who can I bless? And it may be that you just pray for them. It may be that you write them a note. You could send them a text. Or if they're cool and young, you could DM them on Instagram. I don't know. I heard that online. But I do it anyway. I don't know if I'm breaking protocol stuff, but or it's called stalking when I do it. I'm not sure. Whatever. So Instagram them, text them, write them a note. It would exceed 10 minutes if you went to lunch with them, but you could if you wanted. But just 10 minutes with one person up and one down from your age. Now, I understand that some of us will get towards the top of the age and you may not have one up or down. Right. But if you're there, that means you're wise enough to figure out that you can't go up and you're going to figure out how to do two great people down age from you. And the reason I ask up and down is because I even want you to consider someone who's way younger. That's okay. That you're going to write an encouraging note to Arabelle. I know Arabelle writes encouraging notes to me. Who else has ever received an encouraging note from Arabelle? Probably half of us, right? So, you know, she's being darn generous by writing those notes and passing them out like, fantastic. Maybe she could get one back. And I don't care who, God will put on your heart who to do it, doesn't matter. But I am asking that they're at this church, that we are intentional about blessing the believers in our local community right here. I know you have other people and you want to be generous with them too. Great. Awesome. But I'm asking, the specific thing for me is 10 minutes up and 10 minutes down. At some point, you probably have to tell them too. Like, hey, I've been praying for you. Like, I don't know. Response, it doesn't have to be all weird. You could just be cool about it. I'm the one who probably comes off the most weird, so it's all good. So I like to ask, do you do that? But do it till 2019 is over. November, December. So 2 months. 20 minutes for 8 weeks. 9 weeks maybe. I think we're not quite out of October here. Just to be more purposeful, intentional about spending time. To be a little bit more generous. That's time that you hadn't thought you were going to spend, right? So generosity comes in like, well, I wasn't going to spend that, but I'm going to spend a little bit extra on this thing. That's what generous means. And so I'm asking you to do that as a people of God. Would you respond to the word of God in your heart this morning to just decide to be more generous with your time? And I want to encourage you to go back and do that list so that you can, not just in this small moment, but in the rest of your life, really figure out, God, what is important? And how can I best honor you with this limited resource that I have? I want to invest it well, right? So let's pray. Father, I want to follow Jesus, the most generous man of all time, who gave up heaven. He actually became limited in time. He was unlimited prior to being here in time. And then he came to earth, and then he was limited in time. And he was willing to spend that time to save me, to spend day after day with fishermen. And God, I want to follow that. I want to imitate him. And I want to figure out how to be generous with my time as I'm following you. And I want our church to do that too. God, would you just really speak to us this week? Would you help us to start to carve out the ability to say no, become the captains of our time ship so that we can best honor you with the way that we're spending it. Jesus, I just pray that you would come on us in a way that only you can, in a supernatural way, in a powerful, miraculous way, to sort of just realign a little bit, like a chiropractor today. Just realign us. Realign us in you. Would you take a minute, and maybe your minute is like, God, I need to get control of my life, my time. Maybe your minute is, God, which non-believer can I share with? Maybe your minute is like, who can I pray up and down for? Would you show me their faces right now? Between you and God, just spend a few minutes here responding, and then we're going to worship back to our heaven.